Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I am Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christopherson here on Thursday afternoon. Brian, how are we doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm worried about you. This is a sad day. Is a streak over for you?
Yeah. We actually pushed this podcast an additional 30 minutes so that the cavities that I had filled, my mouth numbness could go away. It was a nice 7-year run, which I think might be right around sort of my long streak. I think I had like 2 7-year runs in there without cavities. It was good. Came to an end. I had 2 of them. They were on opposite sides of my mouth, so my whole mouth was pretty numb at one point. They fill cavities a little bit differently now than I think they did 7 years ago, or at least the whole process seems somewhat different. So there's that. But, you know, the thing you got to do, Brian, when these things happen, you just have to pick yourself up, grab the toothpaste, grab the toothbrush, go to work and start over. You know, there's nothing else you can do. You can't hang your head. Can't feel sorry for yourself. You got no one to blame. You got to point the thumb.
Did you get a lecture from them? I haven't had a cavity recently. I've been on a good string myself, but I'm surprised by that, actually, because I've been a little negligent at times. I brush my teeth every day, people. I don't want to act like I don't, but I'm saying I could floss better and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
And every time I go in, I get a lecture, like a little bit of a talking to about, like, you're not flossing, are you? And I think they've
given up with me on that. Like, I've also kind of made the quip, like, you know, the New York Times said flossing doesn't even really help. That's what's the latest out of the Dental Society. So I'm not a big flosser, but I didn't really get a lecture. They said 7 years is a good run. You know, sometimes these things happen. You can do your best work and it can still catch up to you. So what it comes down to is I've probably eaten too much chocolate over the last 6 months, and I have no one to blame but myself for that either. So, all right. Here's how we're going to structure things today. Nebraska's got several visitors coming to town this weekend. They have had several commitments here recently. They had several visitors in town last weekend. I know you, BC, you and Brunts were able to discuss, you were able to discuss 2 of the commitments in Chuba Purdy and in Anthony Grant. But I'm curious, Brian, were you at all surprised that Javier Morton not only popped up for Nebraska, but they ended up taking him as they just continue to add and stockpile to this defensive back room?
Yeah, and that was good stalling by you too, because I had dogs barking and I was able to mute it. So I was glad that you kind of carried on for a second there. Hopefully
I tried. I was watching you on the screen. I was like, when is a good point to throw it back to him? I'm not really sure.
You might have saw me on the screen. I was like, I didn't throw it at the dog, but I threw my beanie cap across the room to try to get a point across. And they did listen. So for now. So yeah, Javier Morton. I mean, that's a guy who, you go back to his original recruitment coming out of high school, pretty big deal. I mean, he's a guy who had the who's list of people after him. I know we are going to maybe get into this later, but he's part of a crowd that's going to be here and make spring really interesting. Like, we could get all caught up talking, of course, about Casey Thompson and Chuba Purdy and what that's going to look like. But Nebraska's secondary is really quite intriguing. Like, it's sort of 1B to me to the QB's 1A, and sort of the what's your level of interest in this and how it shakes out conversation. Because you've got Javier, you've got Tommy Hill from Arizona State, you got Deshaun Singleton, you got Jaden Gold, who's already on campus. And so, you know, Quinton Newsome is probably a favorite for one job. Miles Farmer maybe has his head out in front of the crowd at safety. But I have to think all those guys are looking at it and saying, man, Coach Fisher is not messing around. You better be on your toes if you want to win a job at safety or cornerback, really.
Yeah, it definitely feels it's got like a little bit of an open tryout feel. And look, I mean, you have guys like Braxton Clark who have some experience. We know they really like Marquise Buford, who you've mentioned several times before. Lineham is hanging out in that room as well. And so there's some defensive backs that have been there for a little bit that you're waiting to see, okay, what's going to happen here? What's next? So I really like that this kind of feels like an open competition. We'll see kind of how it plays out for some of those guys. For Javier Morton in particular, I am trying to take a more wait and see approach, specifically maybe with him. I don't want this to come across as like a one-to-one comparison. I don't want to like downplay what he could be. But the last time we kind of saw Nebraska do something like this was Nedab Joseph, and he never really got going. And now Morton isn't coming here off of an injury in the same way that Joseph was, but it's a situation where, yes, he was a former Alabama commit at one point in time. I don't know who Nebraska really had to beat out to get Javier Morton here recently. So I think they're taking a bit of a chance, and I think you get to do that. I mean, they're going to take around 30 some players in this class. You know, they're swinging for the fences a little bit. You get a guy that was previously a well thought of recruit that had a nice season at community college, and you can see what he can do for you. And at worst, it's a guy that can help you out probably with special teams. And so it, in some ways, it feels like some of the movement that we've seen with these defensive backs is to go get some guys that, if nothing else, they're going to be able to help you in that third phase. So I think with Javier Morton, that could be the case, and you're really not risking much of anything by doing so. So we'll see how that one plays out. The name that I heard, and this goes back a little bit to conversations before the holidays, but Deshaun Singleton is someone I think the staff likes maybe more than people might realize, which is why they're not necessarily going out and grabbing a straight up safety as much as just getting some more just general help in the defensive back room. So Deshaun Singleton, I think, is someone to certainly keep an eye on this spring.
Yeah. I like what you said about Javier too. And let's slow the hype train down on that. I don't know that it's chugging too fast down the tracks, but I think what you said should be well taken in that Nebraska sort of with some of these transfers in the secondary, as much as I like what Travis Fisher have done, a few of these haven't panned out quite
right
as we thought. And you know, Tyreek Johnson has
Will Jackson. How's that for a name that you haven't heard in a while?
I was actually trying to think of Will Jackson's name, and I'm glad you said it. I mean, Trey Neal was a success story, I think, for what they needed from him for that year. But I would have to say, yeah, for the most part, with some of these JUCO guys and some of these like your midstream kind of players, they haven't nailed it yet in the secondary. So maybe he's going to be the exception to that. But he's going to have a lot of guys to beat out. I I'm a big Marquise Buford guy, and I think he's going to play. And I think Quentin Newsom's going to play. And I think they love Braxton Clark. He's been kind of waiting his turn to be that guy. And maybe this is finally the year that really happens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Other kind of news to get into a little bit. I want to talk about the upcoming visit weekend. We'll start with the one official visitor we know of. Oh, actually, before we put a bow on the secondary, Nebraska's not done there yet. There is one guy they very much would like to get that it looked like they were way out in front on. I think that has changed a little bit, and that would be cornerback Omar Brown from Northern Iowa, who entered the portal. This is a guy that was an FCS All-American Freshman of the Year as a defensive back, 7 interceptions, 71 tackles as a freshman in 2019. Now, we know 2020, they didn't have a normal year. He had the abbreviated year in the spring. He played in the spring. He played again in the fall for 2021. He did get hurt at the end of the season, but teams stopped throwing his way. So I was told that one of the reasons that he's looking to move out of Northern Iowa is that he needs more competition. Like he kind of needs teams to, if teams just know, all right, we're not throwing Omar Brown's way, then he's not going to get a lot of work. And this is a guy with NFL aspirations. So Nebraska was kind of a, I don't know if heavy favorite, but a favorite going into his putting his name in the portal. And just as we've seen numerous times, I mean, you can try to line these things up so it works out right away for you, but these guys get so much attention so fast. And so now I think they've had to reset a little bit. And Nebraska is certainly still pushing. I think that they would love to get him. I would keep an eye on the date, because if he wants to enroll for second semester, which would be the plan, he's got to be in by Monday, I believe. That's the last day to enroll for classes. So you really kind of coming up on it here a little bit. So we'll see if Omar Brown makes an appearance this weekend or if we hear any more on him. But that would be a guy that, you know, would be a huge boon to that secondary. Could be lining up right across from Quentin Newsome. So we'll see how that plays out. This weekend, though, A.J. Allen, another running back number 37 in this offseason. A.J. Allen, a TCU commit from the state of Louisiana, knows Brian Applewhite really well. I think that's the connection here. He's coming out for an official visit. Brian Christopherson, they just keep stacking running backs. It doesn't matter if it's a JUCO, a transfer, a high school guy, Nebraska's interested. What do you kind of make of all?
Yeah, you call me by my full name there. I'm worried I'm in trouble a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, it tells me that there's not a ton of – well, there shouldn't be. I mean, in this modern day of the portal hopping, you should almost assume that, like, the guys that we right now have listed on the scholarship chart at that position, one or two after spring, and I'm not guessing who they are. People can make their own, but, I mean – usually there's movement, you know, and so you got to sort of assume if you want five or six scholarship running backs by the time you actually get to August, you might stock up one or two extra and know that, you know, there will be attrition, and that's just part of the deal. So let the competition play out. I think it's a big deal that Anthony Grant, who obviously committed on Sunday, is already in Lincoln, and now he gets a chance to show what he can do this spring. But yeah, the connection that Allen has, I think he has been committed to TCU since August. Is that right? So, I mean, that's a pretty deep relationship there. And, you know, he's got other interested suitors. I know there's, like, Mississippi State has really been after him and stuff like that. So it's not like Nebraska's his only option. So, I'm all for stocking it up, knowing that what's in front of us right now, just like we could talk about like the basketball roster and all that, there's going to be movement, and people just have to understand that. So some of that is planning ahead and kind of getting out in front of things.
Do you think, this is sort of a weird question, do you think Nebraska would still have taken Emmett Johnson when they did? Because that felt like kind of an interesting move. They moved on from Ashton Hayes. They took Emmett Johnson. And then they just continued to recruit running backs. The thing with Emmett Johnson is he could move positions. I mean, he could play defensive back. He could play slot wide receiver. He's a special teams guy. So it's not like it's a wasted offer by any means. But I just sort of look at how they kind of handled things close to the end of the season, right at the start of this sort of recruiting period. And I wonder if they knew that who they were going to end up with at running backs coach, if they would have approached it a little bit differently. Like, it feels kind of odd trying to sort of track how the running back recruitment in 2022 and the class of 2022 has really played out.
Yeah. Emmett Johnson's a really interesting prospect, and I like him. I like talking to him. He's a guy, I mean, he had about a billion yards, it seemed like, last season. I mean,
maybe just shy of a billion.
I exaggerated slightly. I think it was like 2,400 or something, but a guy who's really determined and has a chip on his shoulder because Minnesota, the local school, the Gophers, didn't offer him. And, you know, I think he feels like he can definitely play at this level. Now, the thing about him is he's not getting here until May. He's not part of that early enrollee class. So he's going to have to play some catch up, and that's always difficult to do. And so if you don't hear from him right away in the first year, I don't think people should say, well, that's the story on that guy. But yeah, you raise a fair question. Nebraska, I didn't offer him until the very last weekend. And, you know, if they knew that they could have lined up some of these other guys, would have that still happened? I don't know, but it did. And I learned a lesson a long time ago when this goes back to Amir Abdullah, actually. You remember he came in with Braylon Hurd, Aaron Green. There was another one.
Rex was already here.
Yeah, at least those two guys. And I remember writing stories about each of those guys throughout the process at a different outlet. And I would always had Amir's name last. Like it was the name you wrote last on the list. Like you always wrote Aaron Green, you know, his first and Braylon Hurd. And my point being, sometimes we get these kind of preconceived, well, he's supposed to be the guy and look, this guy looked, you know, a little bit better measurables or this or that, or he had this many yards. And you don't know who the real dogs are until you get to college and see who can really grind it out and connect with the coaches and can pick up the playbook fast. And Emmett Johnson's a kid who really, you know, I think he's going to come in with a lot of motivation to show that he belongs. And so I'm not counting him out.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it just, like I said, kind of fascinating how things have played out since that point in time. All right, let's finish up with this here before we take a quick break. I put on 24/7 Sports at Husker 24/7 for those listening, if you're a VIP member. There is a junior day on Saturday, and I've got a list of who's going to be there. Nebraska is going to be hosting at least 8 guys who have offers, 9 if you go into the 2024 class. So they have a pretty good list here. 1 commitment, Gunnar Gatula. I don't want to go through the whole thing because I want people to go check out that list on the site. But there's a few names on there, Brian. Is there anyone that jumps out to you as you kind of look at that junior day list? Anyone that you want to discuss specifically? And then I'll bring up a couple names as well. I don't know if you've had a chance to familiarize yourself with it.
I haven't looked at it yet, but I do know that like Malachi Coleman.
Yep, he's on there.
To me, has become just a fascinating story just because he's a guy who just flat out last season went and earned it. You know, like he just made so many plays. It's like, okay, you got to offer this guy. Like there's no choice to do it. And I really love stories like that. It's similar in some ways. He did it a year before James Kearney did. But I kind of felt that way with James Kearney, where it was like, is he a serious offer or not? And then he just keeps putting up huge numbers every week to the point where it's like, okay, don't offer him at your own risk at this point. That'd be a PR nightmare. And I love everything about Malachi Coleman's story. He's been through a lot in his life. I think some people are familiar with that, but he's a guy who just has a great nature about things and just a eagerness to do things the right way. And so his story excites me amongst the guys who are going to be here.
Yeah, I just now realized that we should just turn you loose here in late January or early February, and you can just go ahead and go write one of your profile pieces on a Malachi Coleman. I think they could be a pretty good story. I know that the tenets of it are already kind of out there for those that don't know, but he was in the foster system and then brought in by a family in Lincoln and has been able to flourish, and he feels very strongly about foster kids and everything else. But yeah, that could be a BC special coming your way, folks. I think we can get that done. I think I can make introductions to you. Malachi's not shy, so you won't struggle to get a quote or two out of him.
I did actually DM with him the other day. This is what I like about him. He had just played basketball. They had just finished a game on a Friday night, and he was supposed to – this is actually newsworthy to his recruitment. He was supposed to go to Missouri, as you know, for his junior days, but there was a big snowstorm here, so he said he wasn't going. But he asked if I would DM him the questions, and sure enough, he's on the bus, you know, coming back from his basketball game and knocks out these just – monster answers, like he, you know, like he's writing a term paper. So I already have a high opinion of him.
Excellent, I like it. So a couple other guys I want to hit on here, and again, the full list is going to be available, or it already is available on Husker 24/7. I want to bring up, there is a quarterback that's coming into town, and it's a guy that I have written about briefly before. He's someone that Pitt offered that Pitt hosted during this past season coming out of Massachusetts. And that would be a quarterback by the name of William Watson, who is a William Watson III, who is a three-star quarterback. This is a guy that has had quite a bit of attention already from various programs, including Pitt. He has offers from Michigan, Oregon, Pitt, Tennessee, and he's now coming out to Nebraska. And one of the reasons, and in the story that I had read previously on him, and I mentioned when I wrote about him while trying to find who Nebraska might be looking at for 2023, he feels very strongly about Mark Whipple and Mark Whipple's offense. And so this is someone I, you know, they've made a couple offers here now to some 2023 quarterbacks, Avery Johnson, Jackson Arnold. I wouldn't completely discount someone like William Watson getting an offer. Pitt already did it. We'll see kind of what he thinks of this visit. I'm hoping to catch up with him both before and after. But that's a guy on this list. He's not offered yet, but I would keep an eye on him as well. And then, you know, to just kind of stick with things a little bit here as well. Another guy that I'm really curious about, his brother already plays for Nebraska, but he's been to Nebraska several times. Asa Newsome is a linebacker from Iowa that the Huskers have some interest in, 6'4", 205 pounds. He's a three-star over there. We know Eric Shenander loves those guys from Iowa. Barrett Rood involved in that recruitment as well. And Mosai Newsome, someone that, you know, Brian, Nebraska could really use to have a good spring. So Asa Newsome, one of these junior day visitors as well. Again, full list, upwards of maybe right around 20-some people total. There's some 23s, some 24s, and even a couple 2022s in there as well. So be sure to check out that full list at Husker 24/7. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some of the early enrollees, who we're interested in, who we think is going to move the needle a little bit this spring. And we'll get into that conversation. And then we'll touch on the latest with Nebraska basketball as well. We will be right back.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, as promised, want to dive into some of these names here on the Husker 24/7 podcast of some of these early enrollees. Who to be looking for this spring, who could be making a little bit of noise. Brian, is there a high school guy? I'll cut you off at the knees a little bit. I won't let you throw Casey Thompson out there. I won't let you throw Deshaun Singleton out there. Is there a high school guy that you're intrigued by that's here early?
I would say Jaden Gold, and maybe that's grabbing the top piece. There, right, you know, four-star guy, but I mean, that's part of it. He was such a ballyhooed recruit, you know, and wanted by the biggest of the big. And I think in some ways you would say he's sort of ended up being kind of the headliner, at least from a star perspective, in this class. And I also feel like cornerback is a position where a guy can occasionally pop in right away and be a factor. And I think in this case, it's not like, yes, Braxton Clark could be on one side and Quentin Newsome could be on the other, but that's not a given. There's definitely an opportunity for a guy who's only like in his second or first year of college to emerge as the other guy, or at least like the third corner, you know? So whether that's Gold or I don't even know if I'm, you know, Tommy Hill obviously could be a factor, but yeah, I would say Jaden jumps out to me.
Yeah. Other high school guys that are here early, I don't have the exact list right in front of me, but just off of memory, Richard Torres is here. He's going to have an opportunity to work this spring to try to get in position as a potential backup option behind what we assume to be Casey Thompson as a starter. So we'll see how that goes for him. Ernest Hausman out of Columbus is here. He's going to be one of 754 inside linebackers that Barrett Rude will have to work with this spring. It was 755, but Will Honus has left the program and entered the transfer portal. So they're down one there. Justin Evans Jenkins, the offensive lineman from New Jersey, he'll be out here as well. You mentioned Jaden Gold. He's one as well. Victor Jones Jr., a wide receiver that you and I both like quite a bit. That's a guy that I wouldn't discount early on. I don't know, Brian. You've talked with both Mickey Joseph and Victor Jones Jr. I can't claim that I know this to be a fact, but I just feel like that's going to be a pretty good fit. I like Victor Jones Jr. I mean, he's probably my favorite high school player in this whole class so far. And I'm excited to see more about him this spring. Those are the guys that I know off the top of my head. I know I'm forgetting at least one of them, but that's what Nebraska is coming in here this spring from the high school perspective. Now they have a bunch of transfers, some junior college guys that are here early as well. But of those high school guys, Jaden Gold, Victor Jones Jr., Richard Torres, probably the ones that have the best opportunity to make a little bit of noise here this spring.
Yeah, I mean, with Victor, I'm glad you brought him up because you're talking about somebody who this coaching staff, at least parts of this coaching staff, have known since he was like eighth grade, maybe. I don't know, something like that. Like, it goes way back. And they knew they liked him all along. Like, it wasn't that that was a deal where, and that's really why he ended up in Nebraska. It's not like he wasn't a guy who didn't have other opportunities late in the recruiting game. He said as much in one of the interviews he did with us. But it came down to him, loyalty. He said, Frost and these guys were loyal to me since I was like in 10th grade. I had to repay it, and I believe in them. I'm going to trust in them. And so I like his mindset coming in. Torres is interesting just because of you wonder with that injury that he had, like when is he fully, you know, operational, if there's any hindrance there, how long that is. But and obviously he's of the QBs, you would say he's a guy who you would probably say it's not likely to happen this year. But, you know, if he can have a big season behind the scenes and impress Mark Whipple with sort of what's in his toolbox, he sets himself up next year, because who knows what'll happen. I mean, we've learned by now, you don't know if Casey Thompson's going to be here 2 years or 1 year or what. So door could be wide open again next year. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to have that stuff kind of, and that's part of bringing in Chubba Purdy and having that competition. So you kind of have an idea of what is available there. Okay. Let's open it up to everybody. Obviously Casey Thompson is going to be the talk of the spring. And I think we know that, but if you look at some of these other additions, I mean, I understand that it's not the sexiest thing in the world, but Brian Buscini is going to be really important. I mean, I think one thing that went well for Nebraska on special teams, they went and replaced, and they found someone to do kickoffs for them, and that made life easier. Having a competent kickoff specialist made life easier. I'm assuming that for some of their issues on punt coverage, having a competent punter, a guy who was well-regarded in the FCS and Brian Buscini, is going to make life a little bit easier. And so, you know, again, not not the sexiest thing in the world to discuss, but again, it's a spot where Nebraska can get better. And I think Brian Buscini alone is going to help them just in special teams.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful about him because when I talked to him in late December, the way he talks about punting and the craft of it, it's very focused on the net punting. And that sounds like maybe an obvious thing, but you know, some guys are just want to show you how big they can kick it out of the stadium and all that. And that doesn't always help you out if you kick it right down the middle. You know, even if you kick it 46 yards, which Nebraska didn't do a whole lot of last year. But his goal, I stated this, I think before, but again, it's worth repeating, is to have a net of 43 yards, which he did at Montana. And if Nebraska had an average net of 43 yards, you're talking about like a 7.5 yard swing in net punting compared to last year. I mean, think about that, like how that could impact games. So that part's fun. But then the Trey Palmer part is really interesting. You talk about guys who just got here. You know, obviously he fits in as a wide receiver because he knows what Mickey Joseph wants there. But immediately he maybe jumps to the top of the conversation as a punt returner, kick returner, which he was at LSU, which obviously that's a school full of great athletes where it's not easy to just be the guy there. That tells me he could be tough to beat there. And so if Trey Palmer can solve some special teams return things and just be a good receiver, he'll have been worth his weight right there. I mean, that's a lot. So if we're including transfers in our Super Six when we get there, I think Trey Palmer might be tough to leave off for those reasons.
Absolutely. And he's not the only wide receiver. I really like the pickup of Isaiah Garcia Castaneda as well. And he's someone who probably will fly under the radar a little bit for most people. Trey Palmer certainly going to grab a lot of that space just being from LSU, but he's a really productive. Isaiah was a really productive wide receiver at New Mexico State, and Nebraska had to beat out a couple good passing attacks to get him. I mean, if you're telling me, Brian, that Iowa State, Minnesota want you to come play wide receiver, I mean, those are two places right now that are doing a great job producing wide receivers at the college level and some guys moving on to the NFL. So they saw what Nebraska saw as well in Isaiah Garcia Castaneda. And so a big opportunity this spring. A lot of yards have to be replaced with Samari Toure. I don't think this is a big limb that I'm going out on here, though a man of my size needs a pretty sizable limb if he's stepping out onto a tree branch. But I don't think it's a given that Xavier Betts and Omar Manning are the top two guys at wide receiver. I mean, if we know anything about Mickey Joseph, you got to show up and work and you got to earn that spot every single day. And so I guess I wouldn't be shocked if there's some different names that are seemingly your top unit when we get to spring football. And so certainly we'll be keeping an eye on that, but Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, someone I liked a lot. You mentioned this name a little bit earlier. This is a guy I know Nebraska loved as a high school recruit, and then they missed on him, and then they're getting their second chance. Tommy Hill is someone I'm really intrigued by what position he's going to end up playing at some point. Travis Fisher loves him. You mentioned Victor Jones Jr. growing up as someone who knew that staff. Wasn't all that different for Tommy Hill either over there in Orlando too. So he really likes the staff. They've known him a long time. That's what made that such an easy commitment back in December. And so he's someone too. There's so many of them. Like I'm also kind of fascinated by Anthony Grant. Like his story is sort of unique. And I don't know that people know this, but he chose Nebraska last weekend and he had the opportunity to go to USC, take an official visit there. They're down to three scholarship running backs. They desperately wanted Anthony Grant. Like this wasn't Nebraska got a guy that nobody wanted. This was Nebraska beating out USC for a running back they really wanted because they need some extra depth. So, and then from talking to Florida State people, he's a pretty talented kid. So very intrigued by him as well. Have we basically listed everyone? Are we intrigued by everyone at this point?
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes on the off season. We're setting up the next 6 months by that. Like I'm intrigued by this guy. Oh, this guy's intriguing. We should like do a thing where you have to like have a jar and no one has cash on them anymore, so I don't know what you'd put in the jar, but you have to pay some sort of price for like using the word interesting or intriguing over and over again, which I do a lot.
We can do a thing where you have to put like a slip of paper in the jar, and then after like 6 months, we count up which one of us uses the word intriguing most.
Yeah.
During the podcast. And then that person has to like, there's some sort of penalty for that individual. That sound fair?
Yeah. We should ask if someone on our message board would keep a tally. They can listen to the podcast, keep a tally. Oh.
Yeah. We don't even need a jar.
Yeah.
We can just get a secretary that can listen and provide feedback.
Yeah. So that definitely would be a Seinfeld references between me and Bronze, like to keep track on who we of course, when we did a podcast, you were still on your vacation a few days ago. Bronze couldn't help himself and he dropped one, and appreciate it. So
that happens. I have to say the crutch phrase that I use the most is saying that I'm curious about something. I say it probably four times a radio interview, and every time I hear myself say it, it's like this out of body experience where I want to beat myself with a tire iron, because like I don't know if you're like that. Like you get really into listening back to what you say, and you try to avoid crutch words. I know from when I was doing more radio, like daily radio is like a thing where I would start like every single sentence with, I'm really curious. And it's, well, yeah, I think everyone can figure it out. I'm curious by now. I said it about a million times. So
I don't do a lot of self-scouting. I admire that you do, because I can't do it. It's like when you probably do this when you actually go through an interview you've had with somebody. I fast forward through my question when
You don't do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll know what I asked, of course, so I don't need to hear it again. And I'm like, I don't need to hear my voice on this tape recorder. So I just let everybody else have to suffer through hearing me, and I don't have to do it myself.
You're fine. So, yeah. Your voice is fine. Mine is terrible. It's like grating. It's nails on a chalkboard. So
what everybody thinks about their voice. It's one of those interesting things about human nature, you could say.
All right, let's finish up this podcast with something. I don't know if it's positive or not, but Nebraska basketball. They won't lose this weekend.
It's probably good for everybody's sanity around here. Yeah, they've got a health safety deal. I assume I don't know all the particulars yet at this point, if it's all COVID related or what, but they're under their scholarship amount of guys. They don't have seven guys or something, so they can't play at Ohio State. Of course, Ohio State's a team they actually should have beaten on January 2nd. They were up 5 with 37 seconds left and ended up losing in overtime. So it's not like they haven't shown they could at least, on a given day go toe-to-toe with them. But yeah, next time they would be in action, if all goes well, is Tuesday against Wisconsin, who's also a ranked team. And so it gets no easier. It's a tough time to get people fired up about Husker basketball. I'm sure there's some people glazing over right now what we're talking about it. I mean, that's the honest truth. Like, it's just not a conversation starter in this state right now. And that's a very dangerous place to be. I just wrote something on our site, Schaefer. I mean, they do have some interesting recruits like in this next class, like Denham Dawson's already here and he's a real go-getter and they like him and all that. And,
Ramel Lloyd, right?
Lloyd was ranked number 132 of all the prospects in the country. And Jamarcus Lawrence has had a really good senior year. He's a top 250 guy. And then you got a 6'11 guy in Blaze Keita, So it's not like on paper that doesn't look good. But the problem is that people have already went through this sort of like the last 6 months, where they're like, yeah, I've heard this guy, that guy, and what do I got to show for it, So people are going to be very skeptical about that right now.
Yeah, I think that Nebraska basketball has earned that skepticism. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know that you're looking at any sweeping changes at the end of the season. So as much as it's unfortunate, a lot of this is just having to just get through it and try to come out on the other side. Nebraska's been in these tough spots for the last couple of years now, so we'll see how this team kind of reacts. I mean, I know last year's group, after that long layoff, was able to find a couple wins on the schedule. I don't think this team is going to go winless in conference play. And so we'll see if this is just a one Saturday they aren't able to make the trip, or if they lose a couple games here in terms of having to make those up later. But
I'm going to throw it back to you. You're a good gauge, I think, because I do think you care a lot, have watched it all your life, Husker basketball. And I can tell, like, and I'm using you as an example of a lot of people, they're just like not into it right now.
Completely checked out on it. I don't love talking about them. I don't like watching them. They're not an enjoyable experience to see play basketball. Too often I find myself like overly frustrated by things that happen in every game that should be coached out of them, but doesn't feel like it's happening. But the thing that I'm having the hardest time with, Brian, is that my eyes can tell me that this group is athletic to the point that there's some athleticism there that you don't generally or haven't generally seen around Nebraska. What I can't figure out is how a team that can start games playing toe-to-toe with others can just completely go these 8-minute stretches where it looks like they've never played organized basketball together. And I think a lot of that falls on Hoiberg. I mean, I have been pretty patient to a degree, but at this point I've been thoroughly unimpressed by his ability to change things up and to get more out of this group. But I'm hopeful that's still out there. I do really believe that not having Trey McGowan's for the month of December and kind of the end of November really hurt this group. I mean, I can't say specifically that they'd have more wins because of him, but I have a hard time believing they lose games like NC State and Kansas State without Trey McGowan. I think that there is a certain thing that he brings to the floor, and it's not even necessarily points, but it's the way that he plays and what I think he gets out of these guys. I'm excited that he's back. That's one thing that I'm certainly looking forward to watching over the next couple months. And I'm hopeful that will help the team overall.
Yeah. If you're looking for optimism and kind of straining for it, and some people won't agree with this at all, and that's fine, because right now Fred Hoiberg's record is just abysmal. I mean, the win-loss thing is terrible.
The worst thing we've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, that's not even hyperbole. It is the worst thing we have ever seen.
No, it definitely is when you just put the numbers down on paper, right? And that's what matters. I do believe this, and this is just a personal opinion. I think he's a very smart basketball mind, and I think I don't discount the idea that they can get themselves out of the ditch. Like, I at least leave open that opportunity that they can do that. And I know some people don't think that at all. I actually do think that's still possible, but it's going to require maybe just like a reset on like how you view certain things and how you've done certain things, and maybe a real overhaul to that over the course of the next year. And that's not going to be easy to accomplish on the fly if they do something like that. So I guess that's my point of optimism, is I still think that. Like, I think that when he talks basketball and talks about certain data points and stuff, like, it makes sense to me. And he talks the game as well as like a lot of coaches I've heard. It just is not translating with this team, and not in key moments. Like, you know, a week or week and a half ago when they're going toe-to-toe with, Was it Illinois they were tied with late? I'm trying to think.
They played Illinois pretty tight here recently.
Yeah, it was like tied with like 5 minutes left, and Kofi was on the bench. And, there was a missed shot by Illinois, and a guy who's like their fifth, sixth best player –
right —
comes in and tips it to himself three times until he gets a layup, you know. And it was just an complete effort play by their guy where he just wanted it more when the game's on the line. And it's those plays where that just drives people bonkers. It's a winning play, and they just don't have those in them when they come. Maybe some of these guys like Denham Dawson do have that and stuff, but as I said earlier, it's that point right now where people are like, yeah, I've heard all that talk, let's — yeah, you just have to show me at this point.
with 3:34 remaining and the score tied 65-65 after a pair of Bryce McGowan's free throws, Coleman Hawkins grabbed three offensive rebounds, two off of his own miss, one off of a Trent Frazier jumper, before eventually making a layup to put him up 67-65, followed by an Omar Payne dunk, followed by a Damonte Williams three-pointer. And at that point, Nebraska's ship was sunk. So,
You know, because that's what people needed. They needed a real deep breakdown on a basketball game like 10 days ago. That's what I can provide.
That was my fault. I let us into
that. No. I think it fits sort of the overall conversation that when given the option to close things out, this is a team that doesn't do the little things. So they don't generally put themselves in the good position to win games. So, I fully subscribe to that. I mean, I might be projecting my own thoughts on what you just said. But
it's a tough league, too, in the sense that, and we can close it out here, but, you know, the Big Ten, who knows, like last March, I think they kind of, they didn't meet expectations after everybody talked them up all year. And so maybe that'll happen again. But if you're a team like Nebraska, who's at the bottom of the barrel, the Big Ten is like the worst possible league in a way, in the sense that everybody else is like sort of got something of substance put together, you know? So it's like, you never get that sort of break in the action where it's like, okay, that's a, you know, there used to be like 5 years ago, it'd be like Rutgers showed up on the schedule and it's like, oh, that's nice. They're going to get, you know, and forget that now, you know, I mean, Rutgers can ball now. And I mean, that it's stuff like that has changed in the league.
And Rutgers is like a 4 minute period of the worst coaching you've ever seen away from being in the Sweet 16 last year. I mean, they absolutely blew a game. I mean, they had an opportunity to be in the Elite Eight, maybe even beyond that. Like, that's how good that team was, but they gave that away. All right, let's end this now before people get real sad. So, Brian, appreciate your time today. We will have plenty of coverage over the weekend. Again, we've got a junior day. There is no basketball game. Nebraska will not be playing Ohio State. I believe the women are on pause, too. Is that right? Yeah, so there's a lot going on, of course, here with COVID as well. But we'll be back next week with a couple more podcasts. We're going to start changing some things up. I have some ideas. I might have some guests that aren't Brunts or BC on in a show in the near future. We might be pivoting a little bit towards doing a little bit more user-friendly broadcast versions, so people might be able to watch us have these conversations, so they can critique our fashion and our haircuts and our eyewear. So, you know, all of those things. So there's some exciting stuff coming to this podcast in the year of 2022. So that's just a little bit of a preview. Be sure to check at Husker247.com this week. Should be plenty of coverage over the weekend with an official visitor in AJ Allen. And of course, that junior day as well. For Brian Christopherson, I am Mike Shaver. We'll catch you next week.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.